Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. For the past several broadcasts, we've been looking at a statement that was put out by the church leadership, well, as a response to a BYU professor, a man by the name of Randy Bott, who gave an unauthorized interview to the Washington Post and was severely chastised for it. Not only did Mr. Bott break policy by giving an interview, he said some things that have caused some embarrassment to the Mormon Church regarding the doctrine, and I'm saying that very purposefully, a doctrine that they had prior to 1978 that prevented those of African heritage from holding the priesthood, Melchizedek and or Aaronic priesthood. Mr. Bott merely reiterated what some leaders have said in the past, and now the Mormon Church has taken the position that any of these statements that were made by past leaders regarding why blacks were not allowed to hold the priesthood is really founded in nothing more than speculation or opinion. It has actually even been referred to as folklore. Today we'd like to ask the question, well, who's actually responsible for this teaching? Where does it come from? And of course, Mormon leaders have pointed to Mormon scripture, but I want to know who the individual is that started all this, because if you talk to most LDS apologists, many of them seem to think it was an invention by Brigham Young. I don't know why Brigham Young seems to be the whipping boy on a lot of these things, but they tend to point to Brigham Young and say it was he that brought this up. But that is not what some leaders have said, and we're going to look at that today.
I think the reason why people are pointing to Brigham Young is he does have a lot of quotes about the blacks, whereas Joseph Smith, we don't have very many things.
You're right, we don't. And even some of the statements that we are going to look at today, it might be kind of difficult to actually find some proof for these statements, but these leaders did tend to believe what they were saying. But let's start off. Well, we're going to start off with Joseph Fielding Smith. Now, between Brigham Young and Joseph Fielding Smith, probably those two men in the Mormon Church spoke more on this subject than any other leaders that I am aware of. Many times when I'm looking at this, it all seems to go back to Brigham Young or Joseph Fielding Smith. Not that other leaders have not said anything or said things as well. They certainly have. But let's look at what Joseph Fielding Smith said on this subject.
Yeah, he says this in The Way to Perfection, page 110. He says, this doctrine did not originate with President Brigham Young, but was taught by the prophet Joseph Smith. At a meeting of the general authorities of the church held August 22, 1895, the question of the status of the Negro in relation to the priesthood was asked in the minutes of that meeting say, quote, President George Q. Cannon remarked that the prophet taught this doctrine, that the seed of Cain could not receive the priesthood nor act in any of the offices of the priesthood until the seed of Abel should come forward and take precedence over Cain's offspring. Now, that was also quoted in 70 Milton R. Hunter's Pearl of Great Price commentary from 1948, pages 141 and 142.
Now, I know a Mormon apologist would probably say, see, it's hearsay. This is not an original statement. This is coming through President George Q. Cannon. George Q. Cannon was a member of the first presidency. Now, I guess we can assume that George Q. Cannon has a memory problem. That's probably an argument that some would hope, but we have no evidence of that. He's merely relating something that he actually heard. That's what we have to assume. But others have believed it as well. For instance, Apostle Franklin D. Richards, in October 5th, 1896, the Collected Discourses, if you'd like the references, Collected Discourses, Volume 5, page 220, Franklin D. Richards said, the principles that the prophet Joseph taught are the doctrines that we must abide in, or we shall be overthrown. It was manifest to him that the seed of Cain would not come in remembrance before the Lord for their final redemption until the seed of Abel, the righteous, should all have their opportunity. So here we have as you said, we have Joseph Fielding Smith. We have Milton R. Hunter, of course, probably agreeing with it to include it in his commentary. Sure. Of course he would agree with it because he's not dispelling the notion or contradicting it in his commentary. Then we also have Franklin D. Richards saying it as well. Then we also have Hiram Andrus, and we've quoted Hiram Andrus in a past show before, who was a BYU professor who wrote the Doctrinal Commentary on the Pearl of Great Price. This came out in 1967, page 402.
He writes, "The former decree of God concerning the Negro has been reaffirmed in modern times. According to George Q. Cannon, the prophet Joseph Smith taught the following doctrine, quote, that the seed of Cain could not receive the priesthood nor act in any of the offices of the priesthood until the seed of Abel should come forward and take precedence over Cain's offspring." End quote. Other reports confirm the fact that Joseph Smith taught that the Negro cannot yet receive the priesthood.
And of course, if you recognize that quote, he's citing what George Q. Cannon said. So obviously, we must conclude that Hiram Andrus felt that George Q. Cannon's statement was worthy of repeating. So anyway, what we find here is that they are actually placing the blame on Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon movement. So to say it was merely an invention of Brigham Young, I would think would at least be contradicted by these sources that we have just cited.
And I wouldn't say blame. I think they were just crediting him with where the doctrine came from as a positive thing, that this is something we believe because it comes from the very beginning of our church.
Well, I guess you're probably right, but in light of this statement, I guess the word blame now is a word that they would use.
But back then, we have to understand that it was a positive view of that this doctrine was from God.
Yeah, in fact, even Randy Bott gave that impression.
Sure.
That this was a good thing for the blacks to not hold the priesthood, and he looked at it as a positive decree from God. Now, this leads to another issue. What about intermarriage with those who are of the, what Mormons call, the seed of Cain? Here we find that in the early years of the Mormon church especially, that intermarriage was absolutely forbidden, or discouraged, I should say. And so we need to look at some of the statements from Mormon leaders on that. And of course, we go right back to Brigham Young again.
Here's what he says, "But let me tell you further, let my seed mingle with the seed of Cain, and that brings a curse upon me and upon my generations. After me, we should do this. We will reap the same rewards with Cain." That's the teachings of President Brigham Young, Volume 3, page 44, that was from 1852 to 1854.
What we get from this statement, folks, is that it was believed by early Mormon leaders that if a person who was eligible for the priesthood was to marry someone who was not eligible for the priesthood, in this case, the seed of Cain, that means that their offspring, as well as the spouse, would not be eligible to hold the priesthood. So the reason why Mormons were discouraged from intermarrying with people of African heritage was because of the effect it would have on their children in preventing them from holding this very valuable and important priesthood office. President Harold B. Lee, in his book Decisions for Successful Living, page 168, says, "Surely, no one of you who is an heir to a body of more favored lineage would knowingly intermarry with a race that would condemn your posterity to penalties that have been placed upon the seed of Cain by the judgments of God." Notice the wording there, Eric, at the end. The judgments of God, not the judgments of speculation, not the judgment of man, not the judgment of folklore, and not the judgment of mere opinion. He is saying that these judgments come from God. And this, of course, would conflict with what the Mormon leadership is trying to tell us today.
Well, that's the whole purpose of why we're doing these shows, to show that this is and was a doctrine that cannot be taken away from the past. Mark E. Peterson, an apostle, on August 27, 1954, in his talk, "Race Problems as They Affect the Church," on page 21, says this, "If I were to marry a Negro woman and have children by her, my children would all be cursed as to the priesthood. Do I want my children cursed as to the priesthood? If there is one drop of Negro blood in my children, as I read to you, they receive the curse. There isn't any argument, therefore, as to intermarriage with the Negro, is there? Now, we are generous with the Negro. We are willing that if the Negro have the highest kind of education, I would be willing to let every Negro drive a Cadillac if they could afford it. I would be willing that they have all the advantages they can get out of life in the world. But let them enjoy these things among themselves. I think the Lord segregated the Negro, and who is man to change that segregation? It reminds me of the scripture on marriage, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Only here we have the reverse of the thing, what God hath separated, let not man bring together again.
Now, what was it that Randy Bott actually said in his statement to the Washington Post? He talked about God engaging in discrimination. Well, isn't that exactly what Mark Peterson is saying here? He doesn't use the word discrimination, he uses the word separation. But in the context, that's clearly what Mark Peterson is saying. And he's, again, making it very clear as to why a Latter-day Saint is not supposed to marry with someone who does not have that priesthood authority, or because the offspring will not have that priesthood authority.
When he says, I think the Lord segregated the Negro, and talks about letting them enjoy these things among themselves, I very much is saying that let the African Americans be by themselves because they're their kind almost, and versus, you know, the whites should be able to be by themselves.
And that's not too far off from what Joseph Smith himself said, that he felt that they should be separated also. Let's finish up this on marriage when it says, according to... John Lewis Lund, mm-hmm. who wrote a book called The Church and the Negro, which is probably one of the best compilations that have all these quotes. He says, interracial marriage with the Negro is forbidden. Those who are allowed to have the priesthood during their mortal life should not intermarry with those who are not allowed to have it. Marriage between the two would result in children coming to that marriage who would not be entitled to the priesthood. So basically, he's just reiterating what we have read earlier from Mormon general authorities, even though John Lewis Lund was not a general authority. Now, he's still alive. You might remember that name. John Lewis Lund ran into a little bit of problems in the mid-2011.
Last year.
When he was arrested and accused of taking artifacts out of Israel illegally. But he's still alive. And I'm wondering, what does he think about the modern statement that his leaders are saying now? For if anybody knew otherwise, it should be John Lewis Lund.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.